Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of power. Here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime, you're tapped in the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Taking you up to 10 o'clock. Got some Commanders news that we'll get to a little bit later on in the hour before we get out of here. But we're continuing to take your calls at 1-800-636-1067. The Dallas Cowboys parting ways with star pass rusher Micah Parsons. They send him to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for two first-round picks and Pro Bowl pass rusher Kenny Clark, who is washed, by the way. In lieu of that, what is the worst decision in your mind that has been made in DC sports history? And then I want to open up to this as well. What's the hardest goodbye you've had to have in DC sports history? Because while we've made fun of the Cowboy fans all night, we've taken a couple of Cowboy fan callers. I do feel for them. Like, your organization has shown just no competency with the decision making over the past 30 years. I mean, the Cowboys have been irrelevant for a long, long time.
Should we feel bad, though?
I do. Because I'm a nice guy, yes, I do feel a little bit.
I don't feel bad because I had to deal with it my whole life.
I always have said that Eagles fans are more obnoxious than you low IQ Cowboy fans.
Cowboys fans, out of all the opposing fans that try to take over Northwest Stadium or have, I should put it, because they did for the last 15 years, Cowboys fans are actually the best. They're the least annoying of the fans that take. Eagles fans are easily the worst.
You know why?
Giants fans are bad too, but they've been bad the past few years, so they haven't been as terrible as they could be in the past couple of years.
It's just because there's low IQ individuals.
Yeah, the Cowboys fans I don't have problems with usually, actually.
I don't. It's those damn Eagle fans. And the fact that they've been to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl twice in the span of, and been three different times, ugh, insufferable. But I'm going to give my hardest goodbye. And that should be interesting. Our guy, Nolan Guy, types in the chat and says, when Art Monk went to another team to end his run. Yeah, that's tough. Yeah, I get that for my older folks out there. For me, man, it's down to the hardest goodbye for me, I think, is down to two dudes. Kirk Cousins. And Ben, I know you have some fire to spit over that. Kirk Cousins, somebody just typed, yeah, Kirk Cousins for me, and then the John Wall trade. Man, when John Wall got traded, the day before training camp started, I think, I was hurt. He's my favorite Wizard ever.
Mm-hmm.
So when John Wall got dealt, like, that really crushed me.
I'm with you 100%.
Zins World typed in Sean Taylor. Yeah, this is going to sound crazy. Think about in 2007 when Sean T passed. I was 9 turning 10.
Yeah, I wasn't old enough to remember it. I was 4.
Dude, I cried. And I had just started. That was like the first year I really watched football every week and was starting to know what I was talking about. I'll never forget, man. It may have been who was on Comcast SportsCenter at the time? Was it Chick? It may have been Chick who was anchoring the coverage at the time. Or was it Kelly Johnson? I think it may have been Kelly Johnson. But man, yeah. Someone said B. Mitch going to the Eagles and the Giants to end hurt you. Hardest goodbye. I want to take your calls on that, as well as the worst decision in DC sports history. But damn, the hardest goodbye, yeah. For me, I would say if we're going to put Sean T to the side, and it's hard to do, that's clearly probably the number one for a lot of people. But the Kirk Cousins thing and that debacle, and then John Wall getting traded to the Rockets. Let's go to Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Linnell. So a few things. First of all, just to go back to worst trade, Philip Forsberg was a forward, not a defenseman. He was an all-star.
Okay.
And had we not made that trade, you would have had 6 all-stars in our top 6. You would have had Ovi Backstrom and Oshie. and then you would have had Forsberg, Kuznetsov, and Wilson. And I'm telling you right now, we would not have lost two playoff series before we won the third and then finally won our cup against Pittsburgh. You add Forsberg and what he was capable of. He had just the year before we won it, he got the Predators to the cup final. So to me, that's Marty Erat was horrible. That was just a terrible trade. I think it ended up getting McPhee fired. Anyway, in terms of the hardest goodbye, I would say Gary Clark. And then those Super Bowl studs, we had to move out because the collective bargaining agreement in 93 put a hard cap in place. And Charlie Gasly, God bless him, but he's saying, you know, judge us on our season. We got Tim McGee from the Bengals. We think he can replace Gary Clark. No, he couldn't. So, you know, that was, to me, a very hard goodbye. One other thing, though, yes. Going back to this trade. Now, look, Dallas looks at it, maybe delusionally, as a long-term play. Just like the Herschel Walker trade, which brought back several assets that form the nucleus of their dynasty that's being featured right now on Netflix. Time will tell if that proves right. But
it's just
you
hard,
add those
though,
two
man.
Picks.
There was this tweet that just came out from Matt Miller, and he kind of jogged my memory on this. Remember when Treylon Burks was supposed to replace A.J. Brown in Tennessee, or when Javon Kinlaw was going to replace DeForest Buckner in San Francisco? Like, it's just to assume that these draft picks are going to pan out is a total crapshoot. You have a proven thing that's 26, Kevin. It could have been there the next 10 years.
I hear you, but if Jarrett ends up with Arch Manning because he's got all these number ones or someone who replaces Dak and is truly a franchise quarterback, it maybe will be worth it. But
when can they get out of the Dak deal? That's interesting.
Yeah, but from the Skins perspective, immediately, 2 weeks from tonight, on a short week,
I know.
We're in Lambeau, and we got to face Micah, who's going to be completely fired up to show what he's got. So, that sucks that we've got to play them and him so quickly. But moving forward, Dallas isn't the same team without Mike. Obviously, we play them twice, and they're a divisional foe. So, you know, if we lose to the Pack, whatever, if Mike is a big reason why, that'll be unfortunate. But I think longer term, it's better for us.
Totally agree, Kevin. I appreciate the call, as always. Go to Ken in Germantown. What's up, Ken?
Hey, the worst decision in DC sports history, if you're talking history, was made by Jack Kent Cook in not leaving the Redskins to his son.
Ah, and giving it to
Snyder. Because that opened up the door.
Yeah.
That opened the door for Dan Snyder to take ownership. That has got to be the worst decision in DC sports history.
That's a really good one, Ken, and we appreciate the call. I'm going to run with that one because, I'm a little younger, so, like, that's not my wheelhouse for real, but, damn.
I don't really, get the lore from that. Wasn't it that his son actually had to buy the team and he didn't have enough money to do it? So then
happened? I'm not sure.
My dad explained it to me once, but I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly. I think his son had to actually try to buy it, and I don't think he had enough money.
That's tough. Joe is in Fairfax. What's up, Joe?
Well, for 35 years. So
What's up, Joe?
Hey, how we doing, guys?
I'm good, man. I haven't talked to you in a minute, man. I hope you're good, man.
I had my Bruin fan here for a second, but I got to start out with Robinson grad, South County dad, and I really hate Lake Braddock. let me ask you why I couldn't be the first to throw the thunder on the Fat Albert trade. I give your boy who called in 3 or 4 calls ago serious props, because that was the worst trade in Redskins Washington history. I remember Matt Gottlieb from ESPN going through the physical at 55 years old. Former offensive tackle passed the physical, and Fat Albert couldn't do it. Mm. Hilarious.
Yeah. The Albert Haynesworth thing was crazy. At the time, though, I remember I was super excited because I remember I was like, were we actually going to be able to get him? And I remember, we came out of nowhere in terms of, being one of the dark horse teams, and then the next thing you know, it was reported that we finalized it. Yeah, that's a tough one. What was your hardest
it's
goodbye?
It's not a Dan Snyder bash, right? We can't bash Dan. He's gone. But that was a classic Dan Snyder.
Yeah. Just throwing money at it. But he was a good player in Tennessee, so I kind of get it. What was your hardest goodbye, Joe, in D.C. sports history?
I would say Trent, really. Yeah. That's another Dan Schneider debacle. I would say Trent, because Trent's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, for sure. And he may go down as one of the best left tackles ever, Joe. I mean, we haven't seen
easily.
First ballot Hall of Fame guy. Appreciate you as always, Joe. 1-800-636-1067. Julian is in Fredericksburg. Wants to chime in. What's up, Julian?
What's up, man? How you doing, man?
I love your show, brother.
Man. I love your passion, the way you talk about things, man. I'm going to go, and I got on late, so I'm going to go with Champ Bailey for Clinton Portis.
Yeah. Even though CP was bad, though, man. That was one. As a younger cat, man, CP is on my short list of, like, dudes you can't get me to say nothing wrong about. Now, I know he'd been tripping off the field, but I love some CP.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, I loved him even more when he broke off that first touchdown, first run, first carry against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm an older fan, man. I'm 60 years old. I'm an old Redskins fan, man.
So you got some perspective on this. Okay, bet.
That's right. So, far, let me get one more in.
Yeah, go ahead.
The hardest goodbye, D. Mitch, man.
Yeah. A lot of people have typed that in the chat. For sure.
Yeah,
people
no
said
doubt
D.
about
Mitch.
It.
People talked about Art Monk, Gary Clark.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I went to school with Gary. I went to school with Gary Clark at JMU, man. So I know.
So was you a player, Julian? Let me find out, man.
Just a regular student. But look, I can tell you this: I played a lot of basketball in the gym with Gary Clark and Charles Haley. And them dudes were competitive, man.
I'm
gonna give you one more, man. Uh-huh. I'm gonna give you one more. I played softball with Gary Clark, and we won the championship, man. It was the Intramural Softball League, and he was on my softball team.
Well, look at you. From now on, Julian, we're going to address you as a champion, brother. I appreciate you as always, man. Enjoy the rest of your night. 1-800-636-1067. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're changing the conversation over to this. If you want to give – I feel like we've gone through all of the worst decisions in D.C. sports history. Coming back, I want to take your calls on the hardest goodbye in D.C. sports history, and then we'll let you hear from the senile owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flamio hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
+1 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at @NELL_BTP. It's tapped into the youngest in Charles and O. Willingham, taking you up to 10 o'clock. We got some Commanders news that we'll get to before we get out of here, but if you're just now joining us, massive, massive trade that went down earlier this afternoon. Micah Parsons shipped out of Dallas to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for 2 first-round picks and Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Parsons, as a result of getting dealt to Green Bay, now the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. 4 years, $188 million, $120 million guaranteed at signing. We're going to let you hear from Jerry Jones, the senile owner of the Cowboys, coming up here momentarily. But we've spun this conversation a couple of different ways tonight. We appreciate all the love that we've gotten on the phone. We've taken over, I think we've taken something like 30, 40 calls tonight. I mean, it's just been a bleep ton all throughout the show. Definitely appreciate the support. If you want to keep the conversation going with me off air, it is at NELL_BTP. So here's how we're spinning it. If you want to chime in on the earlier question, you can as well. The worst decision in D.C. sports history. But now I want to spin it to what is the most difficult goodbye in D.C. sports history. Mine was tossed up between John Wall and Kirk Cousins. Ben, what do you have?
This one doesn't hit as hard as John Wall for me, but just looking back, Kyle Schwarber. When they traded him, because think about it, 2021 was the last time this Nats team was remotely competitive. They were at first place in the NL East at one point, and everything fell apart because Schwarber got hurt, a couple other guys as well. They trade Scherzer, Turner, Schwarber at that deadline, and that kickstarted what has been the perpetual rebuild for the Washington Nationals as they probably enter another rebuild right here. But anyways, I bring this up because, Linnell, I'm going to have you do some research right here. Go look up Kyle Schwarber and what he did tonight. Just do it.
Well, I see that the Nats lost by 14 runs.
No. Just look up what Kyle Schwarber did today.
Am I tripping from... Oh, no, I'm tripping. Was this yesterday that that happened?
Kyle Schwarber did something tonight.
I'm reading in the chat. Okay, Kyle Schwarber did something tonight. I'm looking it up. They're live.
Yeah.
Phillies and Braves still happening. Someone in the chat typed that they're up by 14.
Yes.
So I wasn't totally off. Oh, my Jesus. They're beating the snot out of Atlanta. They're up 18-4. And Kyle Schwarber tonight. Oh, wow. Damn. He has 9 ribbies.
He's got 4 homers.
And 4 bombs.
The 21st 4-homer game. Oh, my God. He's really made a serious case for himself for the National League MVP this year. He's been insane, ridiculous. And the fact that he's a Philly right now is kind of what makes it even worse for me. Him and Trey Turner, both Phillies, Harper as well. Because Schwarber, the month of June, right before they traded him at the end of July that year, he had like 18 homers in that month. He went on one of the craziest runs in recent memory in baseball. And just like that, a snap, he was gone. The Nationals franchise essentially evaporated into terrible despair what it is now. And just like when I think about it, I can't believe Schwarber was a Nat.
That's tough.
For a cup of coffee. And he was really good as a Nat, too.
All right. Wow. How many times has it happened? 4 homers in a
21.
Game? 21st time it's happened? Jesus. 1-800-636-1067. I feel like the Nats have had a lot of tough goodbyes. Soto, Bryce. Damn. Jonathan in Fairfax, your toughest goodbye in DC sports history.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to take it back. I'm going to say Chris Samuel.
Wow.
That was tough.
The injury. Was it his?
Yes, the injury bug got him. He retired. I mean, I definitely think he would have went on to be a Hall of Famer, but the injuries were just, they were too much. And then that last neck injury just kind of put him out.
Damn. Yeah, that's a tough one for me, too. He was another one of those respectable skins during my era, man. And love Chris Simms. I love what he has done since then, though, man. Staying around the game. I know he's definitely coaching some high school football in the area, so I'm glad he's been able to stay around it. But that's another tough one. Speaking of injuries, and I know this guy's career was super short-lived. I'm only bringing him up because I had him on my live show last year. Kyshawn Jarrett, former Redskins safety, was a seventh-round pick, forced to retire due to a neck injury. He was going to be a Pro Bowl caliber player at the safety spot. He was an absolute gem of a find out of Virginia Tech. And unfortunately, his career got cut short due to injury as well. But that's a good one.
Can I get one more?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
So, solid contributor. Not necessarily a star, but Fred Smoot. Fred Smoot was solid.
Yes. For sure.
When he got traded, that was tough because he was a solid second cornerback.
Where did we trade Fred Smoot to? Minnesota.
Minnesota. The Love Boat. He went there and got on the Love Boat.
Appreciate the call as always, Jonathan. Enjoy the rest of your night, brother, man. 1-800-636-1067. Kyle is in Bowie. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, Linnell, how's it going? Can you hear me?
I got you, brother, man. What's going on?
All right, so as far as worst trades go, I'm going to go Donovan McNabb and Jason Taylor. Both of them stayed 1 year, didn't do jack, and I'm just leave that at that. Now, the hardest goodbye.
Kyle, real quick on McNabb, bro, I thought that was the one. Do you remember how bad our offense was in the first game of Donovan McNabb? We won because of a holding penalty. I'll never forget that game. I will never forget. Yeah, I think it was Flozell Adams. Hell, Brian Arakpo.
That team was a lot of potential, but didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, as far as hardest goodbye, I'm a huge Georgetown Hoyer fan.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing Patrick Ewing get let go, it had to happen. It had to happen, but he was our marquee guy who had to get let go, and no one wants to see that. So that was it. Y'all have a good night.
I appreciate you as always, man. 1-800-636-1067. Daryl is in Rockville. What's up, Daryl?
Hey, man. Sorry, actually.
I can't read. My bad, man.
Don't worry, bro. One person that was hard to be lost was losing Sean Taylor.
Yeah.
That was our one.
I know that's a tough one. You got your worst decision in DC sports history?
Probably LeVar Arrington, probably LeVar. When we let him go, he got traded to the Giants, and then he did a couple of good years there, but then he retired after that. So that's probably another one.
Yeah, for sure. I appreciate the call as always, man. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. When we come back, we will finally let you hear from the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. It's his presser, appointment television. We'll let you hear from the senile owner of the Cowboys next.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
One 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It is at NELL underscore BTP or tapped into the youngest in charge and O. Willingham. Taking it up to 10 o'clock by 25 minutes left to go. Right now, we'll let you hear from Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He spoke about an hour ago, fresh off of trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers in exchange for two first-round picks and former Pro Bowl defensive tackle Kenny Clark. Here is Jerry and Stephen Jones.
Well, without being too broad, obviously, we did think it was in the best interest of our organization, not only the future, but right now, this season as well. We've gained a Pro Bowl player. We've gained a Pro Bowl player in an area that we had big concern in, or concerns in, on the inside of our defense. Let me go beyond your question. First of all, I want to tell you that I really like Micah. I appreciate the years, 4 years that we've had him here, and he's a great player. And so we are very appreciative of the fact that he's a great player. There's no question that I could have signed him in April. And so we all know that to have agreements, all parties have to agree. This was by design. I did make Mike an offer. It wasn't acceptable. And I honor the fact that it wasn't done in the way that he wanted to do it through an agent. He was made an offer. There's not an ounce of vindictiveness. There's no bad feelings on my part about the fact that we didn't come together on an agreement. The facts are, and we'll cover it, I'm sure, with many of your questions, but the facts are specifically we need to stop the run. And we haven't been able to stop the run at key times for several years. And when you have the kind of extraordinary pass rush that Michael had, then the way to mitigate that pass rush is to run at you. If the pass rush doesn't get you ahead pretty big time and you're playing even or behind, then you've really got a problem in stopping the run. And so we have felt as we embark on changing things. We have a coach that we're mighty proud of in Brian, and we're excited about the changes that we're making, not only in the coaching staff, but in the team. I think out of our 60 players that we would count as the actives and a percent of the practice squad, over one-third of those players are new. And so we are doing what I've said many times, that if you are the one that owns, and when you look in the mirror, you've got to change. And so that this was a very deliberate, as it played out, reflection on a key player that could bring us a lot of consideration. A lot of consideration now, and the player that we got that can help us stop the run, and a lot of consideration in the future. A lot of capital that is required to build a team. It takes many players to be tried to play in the NFL. It takes 11 on the field at the same time. It takes a minimum of 30 or 40 at minimum to have both defense and offense, not including players that are involved in our special teams. So it takes more than one. And so you do have to allocate your resources, whether it be draft picks or whether it be finances. You have to allocate those resources. There was no question in our mind that Michael could bring us a lot of resources on a trade. That has been on my mind since we hired Brian. And so there was no question. As it turns out, all the publicity about the not having a contract, certainly you did your part in making sure that it was known that he was potentially available, and I appreciate that very much. And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek. I'm not really as serious about it. But I will say this, that it was important that we did get, if we could get it, the kind of interest that we got in making a trade for Mike. He was an asset that we got four great years out of. But when you are talking about making a contract the kind that he got and for the future, that's quite a commitment. And none of that counts about what he did those first 4 years. It all goes against what he can do for you in the future, the length of that contract and maybe more. Well, then you've got to really weigh how many players. And I'm just going to give you this. Not only do we immediately get a player, but those draft picks could get us, I'm talking top Pro Bowl type players, could. Not necessarily, you're going to be quick to say, you won't necessarily get those players. You got to draft them or acquire them. But they could get us as few as three or as many as five outstanding players. Now, not only do they contribute in a game that needs a lot of players on the field, not to be elementary, but they also give you better odds that they're going to be a high percentage of those are going to be available, just from the standpoint of attrition or from the standpoint of just sheer limit on how far one player can go. Very few players are Deion playing 100 plays a game out there at the time. So this trade was not just thought about today. This trade has been going on in our minds and our strategies and being talked about. It's been going on all spring. It culminated today, and it came quick, but that's the way things go. It does happen fast when it happens. But you've laid a lot of water. I mean, you've laid a lot of things out there on the water to make it happen. I want to be sure that our fans understand, I think a lot of Micah, and I wish him so much success. I don't want him to have success when he plays the Cowboys as much as I do want him to have overall success. But Micah Parsons did an outstanding job for us for 4 years, and a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of this team. Kenny Clark, we knew beginning We really knew beginning this spring that if we could pick up a top interior defensive lineman just to offset not having a pass rusher, even though it's Micah, but where we're long, where we're strong, is in our pass rushing depth. And we knew if we could get an interior lineman, that that was at least something that would improve us right there on a top interior lineman. He comes in strong for us, and he comes in accomplished for us. And so we're glad to have him. It was a prerequisite. We went down the teams, and we only picked teams that had room on their cap that could pay Micah, and we only picked teams that had top tackles, interior tackles, that we wanted to have any dialogue with at all about a trade. That was the criteria of trading. Top existing tackle that could come in here and play for us right now, this year, and offset the fact, to whatever degree, more or less, that we don't have that excellence that Michael Parsons has there, but we do have the depth to come in here and do that. And then if we could get the picks that we ultimately getting, and we did have several teams that we might have had an opportunity to do something with. We did have that. And so this was no instantaneous happening this afternoon over about a 5-minute period. The other thing that I would like to say is I made a commitment to Michael this spring, Micah, and paid him, and to pay him. At that time, I was battling and knew that the other alternative probably was. I had no idea of what we might be able to get, but I knew that it was very likely to be several players that we could use those resources for all the way, draft picks as well as cap space. And so that was on our mind. The minute that we saw that we were quite possibly were going to have an issue about whether or not we could do a contract or not, that gave us time. That gave us imagineering. That coupled with bringing in a new coach and bringing in a new staff, we felt it fit for us to have more players, more excellent players, if we do a good job of acquiring those players, plus have a team this year that would give us a better chance, dare I say that? But absolutely, it's not a zero that we're dealing with as far as how much better that we are trying to be, even not having Mike. I've got several other things that I could answer a question with, but I'll stop and just let you ask questions.
The only other thing.
That is Cowboys owner Jerry Jones. I'm in pure disbelief about what we just heard. He really kept calling him. That's got to be a drop. We got to turn Ben. Can you turn that into a drop for me, bro? That him going calling him Michael. Well, the thing about with me and Michael, Al Catone says he's setting himself up for Arch Manning. We're going to find out this weekend what Arch is about, man, because Ohio State's not playing with his ass. They're not. We got a lot of college football action this weekend. I'm excited for it. I don't start paying attention to the Terps until week 3 because they load up their schedule with softies to start the year to make their record look better. Locks' ass is on the hottest of hot seats. Do we know who's starting at quarterback for the Terps?
Nah, they're doing this bit again where they act like 3 guys might start. They did the same thing last year. Then we quickly found out that there was never even a question that Billy Edwards Jr. would be there. Because Cam Edge transferred 4 weeks into the season.
Exactly.
And then MJ Morris was one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen.
Hopefully
they're really doing it. It's going to be Malik Washington.
Yeah, I hope we get to see Leaky Washington.
I bet so much money it's him.
You don't give any credence to the UCLA transfer?
No.
Not at all?
Locke's his job is on the line. He's not starting this transfer that's not even any good.
Leaky Washington's a dog.
They have to showcase everything out of him for him to keep his job.
For sure. One final segment left to go here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. We'll get some Commanders news in. There's a wide receiver coming to town on Tuesday for a visit. We'll give you the deets on that next. This is The Fan.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.